hours coming in, that your son, Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men, all women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up again this morning. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen. Amen. I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we will use as the backdrop for the word that God has deposited in my spirit and given me liberty to share with your spirit. The first is our collateral passage, and it comes from Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to read verses 12 through 14. Then we're going to go to Revelation chapter number 1, and we're going to read till the Holy Spirit tells us to stop. Isaiah chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning with verse number 12. It reads thus, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Have mercy. Have mercy. This is Lucifer speaking. Now let's go to Revelation, chapter number 1. We're going to begin with verse number 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1 begins. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. I think that's enough. We're going to stop there. The revelation of Jesus Christ. As we begin this five-part series, and yes, it is, five-part series of messages that are based strictly in the book of Revelation. Messages, beloved, that are intended to help us recognize and experience, appreciate where we are in Earth's history, how we got here, and why we are in the state that we are in. This revelation, which is an amazing revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach, whom the Greeks called Jesus the Christ, and how he confronts the ones covering cherub called Lucifer, who because of his discontent with Yahweh, introduced into God's universe this pandemic called sin that has contaminated the whole creation and turned us against the Creator and against one another. This book called the Apocalypse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that has to do with how Yahweh plans to obliterate sin and the devil and to introduce a world that is restored eternally. Beloved, I want to begin this morning by giving us a summary of the revelation, a summary, a nutshell, a capsulation of this revelation. This amazing revelation of Jesus Christ. And if I were to put a tag on this message this morning, it would be a summary of the apocalypse. Now turn to your neighbor and say, a summary of the apocalypse. You need to start taking some notes just about now. Beloved, the book of Revelation gives us a panoramic view of the great controversy between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. It is a synopsis or a snapshot, if you will, of the war that was waged against Yahweh by the discontented one, this dragon, the old serpent called Lucifer, who has deceived, Revelation says, the whole world. This book that tells us about how Yahweh intends to get rid of this sin was given to Yeshua, who summons an angel to take John the Revelator, who was in prison on the Isle of Patmos by Domitian, the emperor of Rome, because of his witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John says that while he was isolated, while he was put in prison on this isle, he said when he was expected to be discouraged, oh, have mercy. When he was expected to pout, when he was expected to curl up in a fetal position and feel like all had been lost, he said he woke up on the Lord's day. Now I want you to know that the Lord's day is the Sabbath day, the seventh day. How do I know that? Because Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 and 9 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day, here it is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And John said that Yeshua sent this angel to give John this apocalypse, this revelation of Jesus Christ that comes in 12 sets of visions. Now that's another note that you need to take. The whole book of Revelation comprises of 12 sets of visions. These 12 sets of visions are given to the Apostle John as he is taking on an excursion, if you will, through 35 amazing and awe-striking scenes that make up the apocalypse. And so here, something that we've learned today. This is going to be a preaching and a teaching because I want you to appreciate the book of Revelation. A lot of people stay away from the book because they say it is a scary book. But I stop by and tell somebody today that God is not trying to scare us. God is trying to sucker us to himself. And so he gives us these 12 visions to the Apostle John. And these 12 visions are broken up in 35 different unique, awe-striking, and amazing scenes that make up the apocalypse. What do we see in these visions, beloved? We see the inception of sin, how sin came into the world. We see the time allotted for sin to carry out its course. Then eventually, we see what Yahweh intends to do with sin and Satan, the dragon, to obliterate sin eternally from his universe and introduce, hallelujah, a life, a world, and a creation with no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, and no more death. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah this morning. Beloved, what we see in the summary of the apocalypse is found in the first 19 verses of chapter 1. In other words, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 19, summarizes the whole book of Revelation. It summarizes all 12 visions and all 35 scenes of this vision. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 19 is the encapsulation of everything that we need to know in the book of Revelation. And so I invite you this morning to take a walk with me through the teachings of this text. And we will realize four incontestable exhibits. How many exhibits, everybody? Four incontestable exhibits that are displayed in Revelation chapter number 1, verses 1 through 19, that lets us know how this warfare is going to conclude. There is something unique about the book of Revelation that I need to let you know because I believe it will shock you. The book of Revelation is so unique in that the first scene of Landry in every set of visions is actually the concluding act of that set of visions. All right, let me say that in another way so you get it a little clearer. Whenever you look at each set of visions in the apocalypse, the first scene in the vision is actually the last scene. But Yahweh is intentional in putting the first or the last scene to the front, so that when you and I read the book, we can conclude and be excited and shout about the fact that no matter how ugly things get, literal, oh bless his name, how bad the situation gets, what ugly and terrible situations you encounter in the rest of the scenes, you already know how the vision will end. You already know how the story will end because you have seen the end before you see the rest of the vision. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. Oh, beloved, I thank God for how he sets this up for our good. And so now, here we see these four incontestable exhibits that Yahweh shows in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 19 as a summary of the apocalypse. The first incontestable exhibit we see is in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. And here's what it says: the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, this scene puts on display the star of the revelation. In other words, Yeshua, Jesus, is the star of the revelation. He is the revealer of the revelation. And he is the principal actor in the revelation. Oh, bless his name. And so God puts on display the star of the revelation, the first exhibit, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The second incontestable exhibit, beloved, that we see in the apocalypse is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. And here's how it reads. It says, he has washed us, oh bless his name, in his own blood and has made us to reign with him as kings and priests. What do you say, preacher? The second exhibit that we see is the status and the final position of the saints of God after the end of this warfare. He shows us, beloved, that we are winners, that we are not losers, and we do not win, oh bless his name, because of what we do and not do. We do not win because of how great we are. No, we win because we are washed in the blood of Jesus. We win because the star, the revealer, and the principal actor of the apocalypse, his supremacy, his power, and his work that he has done for us makes us winners. It makes us winners. And when this thing is all over, beloved, we will sit as kings and as priests with Yeshua himself. That you shout, somebody, this morning. The third incontestable exhibit that we see in the apocalypse is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. I like this one. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierce him, and every kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. What is put on display here, beloved, in this third exhibit is the sovereignty of the Savior's universal supremacy. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to write that. The sovereignty of the Savior's universal supremacy. It says, contrary to what his detractors say about him, one day, I said one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. One day, he's not coming as a baby in some manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. One day, he's not going to allow them to put a thorn, a crown of thorns on his head and nail him in his hand and his feet. One day, he's not going to be carrying some rugged cross of a hill called Golgotha. He's not going to be flogged till his back is torn. One day, he's going to sit as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to come, and every person who has ever existed on this earth, living, dead, will see him and will declare that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's the third exhibit. And then the fourth incontestable exhibit that we see in the summary of the Revelation is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. And it says, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and yet I live again, and I have the keys to hell and devil. Oh, bless his name. This exhibit, beloved, this fourth and final exhibit is the validation of his authority, his victory, and his sovereignty. Yeah. Oh, beloved, this final exhibit lets us know that you and I don't need to be afraid. It lets us know that you and I don't need to be discouraged. We know that the pandemic called COVID-19 is seizing our world, and it has killed more than 1 million people around the world. It has destroyed more than 270,000 people in a 9-month period in the United States. We know that people are losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They're losing their businesses. We know that people are depressed. Marriages are falling apart. People are committing suicide. We know that this world is topsy-turvy because of all of the things that are going on, the residues, the remnant of the hell that has come upon us because of the discontent of the enemy, that old serpent, the dragon. But Yeshua says to us today, don't you be afraid, because I am the first and I am the last. I am the one who liveth. Yes, I was dead. I died for your sin, but now I live again and I have the keys to hell and death. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, beloved, I'm so glad that in summary, the Revelation, the apocalypse, tells us are winners and not losers. This is the whole thing, beloved. No matter what happens in between or around the corner in it, the summary of the revelation is that we are winners and not losers. It is that Yeshua is the victor, that he reigns eternally. It says that Satan, that dragon, that old devil who deceives the nation is defeated. It says that sin and death and hell is annihilated and obliterated. It says so that we reign with him forever and ever, that those of us who believe in and have given our lives to Jesus by faith and accept the efficacious death and burial and resurrection of Jesus for our sins, we don't have to be afraid of the book. We don't have to run from the book. Matter of fact, the book is not intended, beloved, to scare us, but it is intended to salvate our interest in looking in the book and reading the book and understanding the book and appreciating the book. Matter of fact, the book comes with a blessing, and it said, blessed are those who read the book, but it doesn't just leave it with those people who are educated and can read, but it also extends to those who may not be able to read, but can listen to somebody reading the book to them. It says, blessed are those who read the book, hallelujah, and who hear those things that are written in the book. I can't get no help up in here. I thank God that the book is intended to bring me closer to God. It is intended to cause me to be loyal to Christ and loyal to my faith in God. I stopped by to tell somebody today that the book is not intended to scare you. The book is intended to assure you that you are a child of God. And no matter what the devil and all of hell brings at you, you will overcome. The book is intended to tell us that we are not victims. We are victors. We are winners with Christ, and we will reign and rule with him. So let me give you some cautions. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged by the warning and the rebuke that we find in the second and third chapter of the book to the six churches. Don't let it discourage you. Yes, he said, I stand in the midst of the candlestick, and the candlestick are the seven churches. He rebuked six of those churches, starting from Ephesus to the church of Laodicea. The only church that doesn't get a rebuke is the sixth church, the church of Philadelphia. But six of the seven churches are rebuked. They are warned, and sometimes it discourages us. But I tell you, don't get discouraged, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6 that every son whom God loves, he chastens, and he's courting everyone that he receives. So every now and again, God has to warn us. God has to rebuke us, because he wants us to turn around and turn to him. I thank God that he loves me so much that every now and again he takes me in a corner and gives me a little whooping. Not because he doesn't love me, but because he expects better from me. Somebody shout hallelujah. So don't be afraid of the six seals. In Revelation chapter number 6, and the four galloping horses and their horsemen. Why should you be afraid? Because the Bible says in Psalms 91 and verse 1 and 2, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler. So you don't have to be afraid of the six seals in Revelation chapter 6 and the four horses that comes out whenever each of these seals are broken. I plead with you today, beloved, that you don't panic. Don't be fearful of the seventh seal when it is open in Revelation chapter 8 and the seven trumpets that sound. All because we are given comfort in Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 1, where at number 2 and 3, where it says, when the plagues are before the plagues fall, when the seventh seal is opened and the seven trumpets begin to sound. Revelation chapter 7, verse 2 and 3 says that an angel comes from the east with a loud voice, and he declares to the angels that have the seven trumpets and says to them, touch and hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God. In other words, beloved, the pledge will not fall on you and me. Yes, we will be here when they come, some of us, if we're still alive, but we don't have to be afraid of the pledge, because the angel leaves from the east and he's loud so that these seven angels with the seven trumpets can hear him clear. Hold, hold, do not rain or blow the trumpet until we have sealed we are, until we have sealed the members of the Berean church, until we have sealed those who are worshiping with the Berean church today on Facebook and on all of the other platforms, Zoom and YouTube. Do not let the plagues go out until we have sealed them and protected them, because they've been washed in the blood of Jesus and they are under the blood. Did not he say in Psalms 91, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but they shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my God, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil before thee, neither shall here come any plague come near thy dwelling. How is he going to do it? He will give his angels, oh, bless his name, charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They will bear thee in their arms, lift thy dashed foot against the stone. So I'm not afraid of the book. I'm not afraid of the seventh seal being broken and the seven trumpets being sounded, because I am sealed by the Holy Ghost. I'm the Son of God, the child of God. Yes, I know you look at me cross-eyed. You call me a hypocrite. You talk about me in front of my back. But I thank God that John reminds me in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 3 and verse 2, now are we the sons of and daughters of God, but it does not yet. but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is anybody excited today that you don't have to be afraid of the plague? Because it will not come at you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, beloved, don't be flabbergasted. Don't panic. Oh, because that beast in chapter 13 that comes out to sea, that mysterious beast that is given power by the dragon to speak great words against the Most High and to attack and make war against the saints of the Most High. Don't even be afraid of the second beast that comes out of the earth that has two horns. That gives a command that the whole world should make an image after the first beast. Don't allow these imagery, don't allow these scenes to cause you to panic, because we have confidence in the word found in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14. Here's what it says: here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Why? Because it is the number of a name, and his number is 666. In other words, what Yeshua is saying to us is, don't be afraid of a man. You gotta be afraid of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because this beast may look terrible, may have four heads and 10 horns, and it looks strange, but it's just a man. Oh, bless God. He cannot do to you anything more than just taking your physical life. He said, don't be afraid of those who take the body but cannot take your eternal soul. He said, be afraid of me. But I want you to love me, because I love you for with an everlasting love. And so, beloved, I'm not afraid of the beast. I'm not afraid of the image of the beast. I'm not afraid of the two-horned beast, because I know it is just a man. Matter of fact, break the crack on them, because Revelation chapter 12 and 11 tells us that they overcame, oh bless his name, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. In other words, I didn't have to do anything but accept Jesus Christ. And when I accepted him, I wasn't ashamed to proclaim to the whole world that I'm a child of God. The way I walk is because I'm a child of God. The reason I eat what I eat and I dress the way I dress and I don't go places I used to go anymore is because I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm a child of God. I'm saved by grace through faith, through the blood of Jesus, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So why do you keep the Sabbath? Because I'm saved. Why do you pay the tithe? Because I'm saved. Why do you love those who don't like you? Because I'm saved. I know my identity, and I walk in my identity. They are redeemed and they overcome by the blood and by the words of their testimony. What is your testimony today? Oh, beloved. And if you want to get happy, hey, then go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. I told you chapter 1, verse 1 through 19 is a summary. Let me show you what happens in chapter 20 and verse 10. It says, and that dragon, the devil, Satan, the father of lies, the one who brought Well, he's not there by himself. It says that the false prophets, that's why you got to be careful who you are listening to. You can't be listening to Paul White, all the angels from Africa, angel from South America, because you want some lying president to win an election. That's what I'm saying. I told you I'm a prophet. I'm not a politician, so I call it like it is. Don't be listening to these false preachers. I call them prophet liars that talk about, Trump was going to win a second term. God showed it to them. You know what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22? It says when a prophet speaks a word, and he says that word is from God, and that word does not come true, that prophet is a liar. Don't try to change the color of that. They cheated so long you lie because it didn't come true. The election ended in November 3rd. He didn't win. So all of these evangelicals who love money more than they love God, they're following this man. Yes, that's what I said. They're following him, beloved, because he's promising them the God of gold. He told them the economy will go up and the stock market will go up. He's going to build a wall that separate Mexico from America, and Mexico is going to pay for it. But the last time I checked, my tax dollars paid for it. And so I stopped by to tell you, I'm so excited about Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, because it says that the lying father, the dragon, Satan, that old serpent, the devil, and all of his false prophets, and all of those who refuse to come under the blood of Jesus, because their love is more for money than it is for God, they were cast in a lake of fire that burns with brimstone, and they burn eternally. They burn forever. And if that doesn't shock you, let me take you to Revelation 21 and verse 1 through 5. Because John said, after this, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. What else did you see, John? John said, I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned to meet her husband. John, what else did you see? He said, I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall reign with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. Hear this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more sorrow, neither pain, nor crying, neither shall there be any more death. Watch this, because the former things have passed away, and he that sat upon the throne said, write these words are true. Behold, I make all things new. Did not I tell you that the summary of the revelation is that Jesus Christ is the star, that his people who are washed in his blood are going to reign as king and priests with him, that he comes in a cloud and every eye shall see him, even those who pierce him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Did not I tell you that he said, don't you be afraid, because I'm the first and the last. I am him who liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forever, and I have the keys to hell and death. I tell you, he shows it to us when he said, write, for these things are true. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, I got some all declassified intelligence. I mean, I got classified intelligence that one day sin will be obliterated. The devil will be annihilated. The people of God will be liberated. Yeshua will be inaugurated. And the character of Yahweh will be exonerated. I got intel that one day the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever.
Come on, preacher.
Awesome back. I said, right on, King Jesus. Nothing can handle you now. Right on, King Jesus. No man can handle you now. I hear somebody saying, lift up your hands, only yes, and be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Somebody asked, who is the King of glory? And the answer is, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. And watch this. Didn't know him, didn't know his name, but they just love to hear it. So they ask the same question. Lift up your head, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory. So come here comes the question. Who is? Who is the King of glory? The Lord Sabaoth, the Lord mighty in battle, the Lord strong and mighty. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, there to sing forevermore of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, there to lift my voice. All my cares are past, hard and blessed, ever to rejoice. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus one day. My question to you today is, do you want to see me? Are you under the blood? Have you been washed? Don't be afraid, because the summary of the apocalypse tells us that we win and that Jesus reigns. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. The summary of the apocalypse. Oh, beloved, I want to open the doors of the church and call somebody who is afraid of this book, who have heard some fake news about this book, causes you to run from it instead of running to it. Cause you to be afraid of him instead of being a friend of the book. Oh God, I pray today that that man and woman, that boy and that girl, under the sound of my voice, will say, yes, wherever they are, in Africa, in Asia, wherever they are, in Australia, in Europe, the islands of the sea, North America, wherever they are, God, wherever they are listening to this word today, I pray that they will say yes to Jesus, that it will come in the blood, that they will be free. Oh God, and that they will tell somebody about this experience today and then invite them next, when we will be dealing with part two of residues of discontent. Oh God, save your people today. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, beloved. pray that you've been blessed. And I pray that this word has been deposited in your soul, in your spirit. I pray that it has freed you from some of the fears that you have of reading the book of Revelation. But for us to continue this ministry, we need funding. I was in my office yesterday and looked at the reports. And I must regretfully say to you, November was the worst month that we've had this whole year. Oh yes, I thank you for what you are doing and what you've done, my beloved. If we're not able to meet our budget, it's going to be difficult for us to continue this ministry that we believe is a blessing to you as you are a blessing to us. And so I ask you now, as you see our address and ways of giving on the screen, that if this ministry has been a blessing to you, you can write a check that will help us to pay the bills. Send it to, if you write, a paper check to 4555 Fairfield Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70802. And write it to the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, as you see on your screen. Or you can go to our website, www.BereanBatonRouge.com, and click on the online giving, and then be a blessing to us. And I can confidently say to you that Yahweh will bless you well, with health, with strength, with courage, increase your faith, and even financial blessings. Let me pray right now that you will be blessed as you make this commitment to give to us this week, so that we can cover some of what we were not able to do for the month of November. Matter of fact, this is Christmas month, and I know you've been on Cyber Friday and all of these other things, buying the gift and sending it to your families and friends and loved ones, and it's okay and it's good. But would you think about the Berean Church and the Berean ministry and give a special Christmas offering to help us make up for some of the losses we've had this year? And I believe God will bless you real great. Father, I pray right now for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. God, who has a desire to partner with this ministry, bless them, God, not just with money, but with love in their family, with healthy relationships, God, with faith that will stand during these shaky times. Yeah. Oh God, protect them from this virus and from dangers, sin and unsin, as they go up and down the highways and the byways. God, protect their business, their jobs, God. Stretch that income. God, do something special for them because they are helping to grow the kingdom through this ministry. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.